And for what it's worth, Hunter, I gave you enough crap on Twitter that really I owe you. So
I haven't heard, I didn't read any of it. Should I read it
nothing?
Now?
Nothing.
No.
No. No, I'll read it now.
No.
What? Wait. All right. Let's go back. Let's go back.
Jason probably owes you one, too.
Hunter.
R.
R. Just waiting on Hunter. Then we can do the podcast stream like, you know, we do every Thursday around 7:30 Central. Woody Man says maybe he forgot that you do the same thing every week on the same day and time. Thanks, Woody Man. Dustin Faber says, if he dies, I am an on call. What the fuck? If I die?
We've got a pool going.
But I will be napping probably. LOL.
Welcome to episode 84 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am so hungry I could eat with my elbows, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am Eric Bailey's golden compass.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I've banned toothpicks.
What?
Like completely?
Completely, but they're illegal.
Unilaterally.
Unilaterally, across the board, I've banned toothpicks. They're a choking hazard for children. It's like
that's why
you can't have the Kinder Surprises either down there.
Well, I mean, I will say I personally am not a big fan of toothpicks. Although I do actually have a redneck toothpick here. Actually, it's called Redneck Dental Floss, but it's a stick with a pointy tip.
Nice.
Yeah. Just get right in there, you know.
Nice.
So. Where would you find something like that?
My grandfather does lots of funny little woodworking things. He's a cool guy.
Huh.
Yeah. If you want one, he'll make one.
No, I'm good.
He'll whittle me one?
I might just sit back and pick my teeth with it throughout the whole episode.
Sweet.
Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, I've never been a fan of toothpicks before. Maybe tonight's the night I discover the pleasure of toothpicking. I mean, of all the nuanced hobbies I could take on, surely this is not as bad as, oh, say, collecting retro phone books.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, I'm waiting to see just giant stacks behind you of yellow phone books.
Someday.
Just happen. Slowly, week after week, there's more and more, and you start building columns worth, and you're created a bunker out of phone books, and that's where you do the podcast from. That's the day that I'm
My fingernails are 8 inches long. I have deep yellow pit stains. My hair is down past my butt. I speak in a hoarse rasp, and I'm on an episode of Hoarders. That's what retro phone book collecting does to you, okay? This has been a public service announcement from Eric Nintendo Legend Bailey.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd pay to see that.
I kind of feel bad for the people who actually do that now.
You know, Jason, you say you'd pay to see that. The thing is, you can. Just buy me a bunch of old phone books. I will collect them. I will become the world's greatest retro... Why are we talking about this again? That one episode was enough. Of all the running gags the show has, the last one we need to perpetuate is retro phone book collecting.
Yes. It's the new Pokemon card.
Yeah. Foil edition.
Wow.
Pokemon phone book. All right. What we need.
Let's not get back into that.
Please. Okay. Have you guys played any old video games lately?
I did.
Yeah? What'd you play?
I played Sonic CD.
Why?
I don't know.
It's a pretty good game.
Wait a second.
But it is
because
unexpected.
Sonic CD is currently on the Android platform.
Uh oh.
Please
yes.
don't tell me you played it on
no,
the
I didn't.
Android
platform. Okay. I own it on Steam, so I played it with a controller.
Oh my gosh, did you like your fingers curl up all funny and
almost. I feel weird. Yeah, I don't get Sonic. He's not I don't understand. Why do people think he's cool?
For anyone who's new to the podcast, Jason
hates
is
Sonic.
Kind of a gaming heathen. We have him on here just so we can be amused by.
Hey, listen.
He thinks Mega Man is terrible.
I generally just okay. I'm.
Does anything
I really
more
hate blue characters.
The truth is out.
It's just the blue.
Jason
the
blue. Is racist. Just, that's the whole problem.
I just honestly, I don't.
I hate you.
I don't understand the appeal of Sonic.
Jason, let me ask you a question. Are you one of those players that will start a two-player game on Contra just to kill off player one so you can play as the red player?
You know,
is that what you do?
No.
You know, Double Dragon 2...
Are you sure?
If you turn on the mode where you can hurt your co-op partner, every time you kill him, you get an extra life. So here's a tip for anyone out there struggling with Double Dragon 2. Just start two-player mode and kill the other guy. You'll have twice as many lives to start the game with.
Perfect.
There you go.
Okay. Now hear me out.
Okay.
Sonic. Of all the gaming mascots out there.
Yes.
Okay. Having him as your favorite video game character is like a kid who likes Quicksilver as his favorite Avenger.
What?
You see that look on your face, Hunter? That's
what's,
the look
what's
of
wrong with
what the hell's a Quicksilver? Exactly.
No,
what the hell
no,
is a Quicksilver?
Cool. No. Hunter gets it. I see where this is going.
No, Quicksilver's so lame. He just runs. No, that's such a lame power. Hey, run fast.
No, hyper speed is incredibly powerful. Let's say you're going up against Magneto. Magneto starts to raise his arm. You can just run up and punch him in the face 1,000 times before he takes his next breath. Dead. Done.
Not only that, like they've really deviled into what the Flash can do. And if he vibrates fast enough, he can open portals to other dimensions.
That's cool.
I don't see Superman doing that.
I don't see Sonic doing that either.
Yeah, I read a comic where the Flash was married and his wife was like, honey, could you fold the clothes? And then, like, it was done and she was all weirded out. It was amazing.
Is that when they got a divorce?
Yeah, I think so. Also, yeah, Jason, to understand the appeal of Sonic, you have to have been a child who's grown up in the 90s. And I think
we all
understand that you were never actually a child. You were kind of an embryonic cryogenic chamber experiment.
Oh, you came out of the womb with that beard.
And a love for PCs and digital media. But you
that's
have to understand.
That's what I turned to him on, Mama.
Like that thing you just said about why of all the video game mascots would you like Sonic? That makes sense today.
No, that's what I mean,
though. But in the early 90s, the only other big mascot really was Mario. And so
I understand that, though. There's still people, though, who are like, yeah, Sonic, he's the best.
Okay, but okay.
I'm going to draw all these pictures.
True. A widely known internet fact, you're right. The Sonic fanboys, the ones that are like still hardcore about him, are some of the creepiest people out there. But it's true.
Man.
I'll give you
we're
that.
Just pulling out all the stuff.
That ship has sailed.
Tonight's
so
episode.
I played
we're not
Sonic.
Pulling any punches. Okay, so you played Sonic.
This was a mistake. I'll probably play it again, though.
Yep.
So what did you play?
Well, I played Sonic 2.
Is that Sonic as well, or Sonic 2 the game?
Sonic 2 the game. Okay. And so as somebody who was a child in the 90s,
yes.
who
unlike
grew
Jason.
Up.
Unlike me.
No, well, here's why Sonic was great as a child growing up in the 90s. He was super fast. Now, that may not seem like a big deal now, but back then, that was amazing. Like, when he was moving so fast that you couldn't keep track of what he was doing, and the screen was trying to keep up with him, like, that's pretty cool. Like, that's blast processing, brother. Like, you can't pass that up. The other thing was, is you're not constantly moving to the right to continue your progress. There are many times where you have to move to the left. The levels are set up more like mazes rather than just a point A to point B. So that was a little bit more of a complex platforming design. Not to mention Tails, having a side character with you, like that was, I mean, granted, he didn't do anything, but I even when I played it earlier, I was still laughing when, you know, I'm standing on a platform and he just falls off and Tails dies and you just kind of chuckle to yourself because it's like he's pathetic. Multiplayer, head-to-head multiplayer. Like, yes, it's been done before, but in a platforming sense that was so elegant that Sonic was, there wasn't any other 16-bit or 8-bit game like that, in my opinion. Very competitive. In a genre that didn't really seem competitive to begin with, especially in a platforming. It's like, it was always a co-op, never a counter-op. So that was really cool. The rings was a crazy new idea because before it was, you know, you collect 100 coins or 100 apples or cherries or whatever it was and you get a life. And this was your life bar, like collecting rings. Like, I don't know how many times I'd be fighting Dr. Robotnik and I'd get hit. I'd lose that one ring and I'd sacrifice everything just to collect it, completely negating what's going on the playing field. Like, that whole gameplay mechanic was extremely brand new to console gaming. Like, it was, looking back at Sonic now, you can see what it did to make it to where it was. And it was amazing that Sega was willing to take those kinds of steps, especially into unknown territory, because it would have been so much easier to take like Wonder Boy and just make a Mario game. You know, like, they decided to do something completely different and it worked out. But yeah, nowadays, I don't, like, I will never play as Sonic in the new Smash Brothers. It's not going to happen because he's such a pitiful character.
Yeah, he's strangely slow. That's the weird thing about Sonic in the new games.
Yeah. And no matter how fast Sonic is, for those who have beaten Dr. Robotnik at the end of Sonic 2, he's still faster than you. It's the weirdest thing. Because he outruns you on the last stage. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm Sonic. I thought alive. I was fast. So. Does that help, Jason?
Kind of. I still hate Sonic.
It was a simpler time. How about
it was.
That? And Sonic the Hedgehog was a brave new world.
Yes. Sonic is the, I don't know.
I don't either.
Palenko.
Sonic is the platforming giant it was in the 90s, as Half-Life is to the first-person shooter genre. How about that?
I'll take that, I guess.
Okay. Shit, that was easy. You should give me money.
Nope.
Lots of money, just because.
No. Oh, okay. Maybe.
No? Is that? Okay. Maybe. That's right. Maybe?
Maybe.
I mean, I could use money.
Me too.
Me too.
Bailey.
What's up?
Do you play video games? Or are you still playing that stupid 3DS? Man.
3DS.
About that.
Listen, if I could play Sonic CD for tonight.
Does a retro style game on the 3DS count?
No, man. No, I don't know how many times we have to go through this.
Does a sequel in a series that has been around for decades count?
Yes.
Okay, Worms Reloaded. Played it on Steam this week a lot.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah?
Worms.
Worms
like,
is
that
last.
Is
lots of
hardcore,
fun.
Man.
Lots of fun. Yeah, it's really challenging. Like, I love stuff like that. Like Scorched Earth. There's another game called Blast Doors that was on like a 300 games in one Windows CD. That was awesome. But yeah, so I love the way Worms mixes real time strategy with the turn based, and the weapons are great. There's this buffalo you can release and it like blasts through the wall several times. Homing missiles, grenades. I mean. What's not to love? And there's a one-player campaign mode, which I'm a sucker for, but it does, like, every five or six stages, instead of the traditional your team against their team, who can blow each other's guys up first, or worms, I should say. There's these puzzles, right? So we'll have a challenge, like, get from point A to point B with the grappling hook in 30 seconds. There's, like, mines and stuff on the way. Or it'll be like, here's two characters. You have to kill them both using this weapon. You have to figure out how. I can't decide whether I really like those portions or not, because one of them took me like an hour to figure out, and it was frustrating, but they do break up the pace. Yeah. It's a fun game, though, overall. So if that counts, then Worms Reloaded was the closest got I got to playing a retro game this week. Sorry, guys. I hate to let you down. I know.
So it's not like we don't do a weekly podcast or anything.
Yeah, you know. Okay.
Whatever.
Throwing that back at me. I mean, I did briefly play a couple NES games. Like, you know that phase you go through when you're just seeing if they work?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if it's
like, is
not,
it cleaning time?
Yeah, yeah. So you fire up the NES. If the title screen comes on, you hit start, and the controller inputs work. It's like, great, okay, put that game back on the shelf. If it's, like, a fun game, you'll sit there and play it for, like, 5 minutes. So if that counts, then Tecmo NBA Basketball, Ninja Gaiden. I played a couple NES games for 2 to 5 minutes.
Kid How far cool. can you get Ninja Gaiden?
Embarrassingly not far. I'm better at Ninja Gaiden 2 because I know that one better. I can get to like level 4 before I die the first time.
Ninja Gaiden 2 is when they really upped like the wind and stuff where it would hinder your jump ability.
Yeah, because those levels are not
talk about
anywhere.
Stuff that I can't stand in video games.
Wind?
Like I understand the point of it. Yeah, wind. I can't stand wind in video games. Like I get it. But like hey.
But
I hate the fact that I have to wait for something that's beyond my control to change.
I hear that. Okay.
That's
okay. I understand that completely because Mario and Luigi Dream Team on 3DS might have the slowest moving platforms I have ever seen in the 2D platforming portion. I mean, these platforms are moving at just a few pixels per second. And I get it. It's an easy game. You know, it's family friendly. But if you're waiting on this platform, you're waiting like several seconds for it to be within jumping range. I mean, they really. And then it pauses at the bottom. So you jump on.
Make sure you can safely get off.
Just make sure you say that. And then it goes. I mean, maybe it gets harder later in terms of the platforming parts of the game. But my goodness. There's hand holding. And then there's full body restraint, toddler leashes. You know, you can go too far with the kid stuff.
Leashes on kids, man.
Leashes. I'm not saying they're always the worst thing in the world, but if you have to keep your kid on a leash, there is an issue.
You probably should have just left him at home.
Wow. No offense to anyone watching who has leashed children, but
like it makes me wonder because like Nintendo, especially nowadays, is like known for that, like the handling with kid gloves and you know picking, you know, getting the what's the term that they use in the phrase that they use in sales all the time, picking the fruit off like the bottom of the tree. You know what I mean?
Low hanging fruit.
Yeah, that's what it's called. I wonder if they actually have a team that goes in after a game is like 95% and then just completely pad it to bring down the difficulty level. You know, I wonder if it's like, okay, dev team, go do what you do. And like they make this killer app and it's like, man, this is amazing, but it's too hard. So Rather than these platforms dropping at tenths of a second, we'll make it, you know, 1 second. And it's like, you know, I wonder if it's just like little tweaks like that Nintendo does.
Yeah, and the thing I don't get is that the platforms, you don't die if you miss the platform and the parts that I'm seeing. It's just part of the landscape. So rather, right. I mean, they actually made this conscious decision where it's too traumatic for players to miss the jump and have to jump back up to the platform they jumped from. No. Just make them wait the extra time. Because they might miss twice and have to undergo the trauma of waiting like 5 seconds longer than if the platform was just like, heaven forbid.
It's just interesting. Like, because to me, it seems like they've turned such a 180. Like, it was when the Wii came out, I think, is when I really noticed it. Because even the GameCubes, like some of their games. Yeah, I mean, there's a little hand-holding here and there when it comes to first-party games, but I think when the Wii came out, that's when it was like, okay, this is who we are now. And it was such a turn of events with that console, you know?
Yep. Certainly a far cry from the original Japanese Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah.
Poison mushrooms and all.
So, Jason.
Yeah.
You play PC games, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking for a recommendation.
Okay.
I am a huge, huge fan of Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
Okay.
I enjoy the terrorist hunts.
Yep.
And I like the cover mechanic.
Okay.
What game would you recommend that is a little bit more modern? Because it's I'm finding it harder and harder to find people to play with online.
Right. Rainbow.
He has no idea.
I have no idea. I played the original Rainbow Six Vegas.
Oh, gosh. No, that... Ugh.
Only for a short period of time. I know they're coming out with a new Rainbow Six-esque game. Oh, what's it called? It's Tom Clancy something.
He's in there somewhere. Nobody's for sure. But...
Yeah, he shows up.
I'm still waiting for Tom Clancy's Rainbow 7. That's what I'm waiting on.
So,
let me get back to you on that.
I would appreciate your opinion on it. Because, like, I'm really struggling.
So, like, is really... a tactical third-person shooter?
Sort of. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right. There's a free one. There is a free one called... Hold up. Frontline Tactics. It's not great, but it's free.
Frontline Tactics?
On Steam, yeah.
I don't even like the name of it.
Yeah, it's... Oh, wait till you see the unintuitive UI and the one-click.
But does it have a fan base, though?
I don't know.
Like, I'm not kidding. Like, if I had to pick a game in the recent 10 years... that I've put hundreds of hours into, it's been Rainbow Six Vegas 2. Like, I'm a little ashamed of how much time I've put into that game. Like, I've gotten to the highest level possible. Well, not the highest level, but, like, you get rankings, and the highest ranking is an elite, and it's probably 80 hours of gameplay. I have deleted my character on purpose just so I could do it again.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're pretty cool.
No, I'm sick. Like, it's...
Same thing.
Mm.
Same thing.
Jason, you get back to me.
I'll get back to you.
Canadian style.
Typically, at this part of the show, we have a listener email discussion question, but we ran out of listener discussion question emails! So, please email us your discussion questions at podcast@onemorecastle.com. And we will use them on the show. We will answer your questions, preferably related to gaming, but maybe not. We'll see. So tonight, for the first time, we are making something official. We've done it before, but we're doing something new. I know it's crazy. New segment of the show. It's called Crazy Game Ideas.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're actually going to make this like an official constructive thing. And here's how this is going to work. Jason, it's your turn tonight to come up and explain the crazy game idea. But how you're going to have to do it is within the constraints of these two rules. One, I'm going to say the first word that pops into my head, just a random whatever. Then Hunter... You're going to say the first thing that pops into your mind when you hear my word, okay?
Word association, I'm with you.
Yep, and then Jason has to come up with an idea based on those two concepts. Implemented.
I'm telling you right now, my word's going to be boobs. Somehow.
Well, mine is spoons, so there you have it.
Spoons!
Hey! Spoons, is it spoons and boobs. Jason,
so no. No. Spoons, I'll think of something
okay,
else.
Okay, okay. Okay, so Hunter, spoons.
Spoons. Bats.
Spoons bats.
Wow. Okay, Jason. come up with a game concept based on spoons and bats.
All right, spoons, bats. Okay, Spoon Bats is a collectible multiplayer card game. Okay, there are two. It's post-apocalyptic. There are the spoons.
Of course.
And there are the bats. The spoons are very technological. To create their armor, they've actually used a large number of spoons. And they've either melted them down or they've kind of weaved them together to create their body armor. Well, the bats, having, you know, inhabited a region with lots of caves, they've actually hunted bats. And they've crafted leather armor with the bat bodies, the bat wings. So it's, yep, yeah, so spoons versus bats. And because it's a collectible card game, basically each faction has different cards based around those themes. So if the spoons, you know, kind of, you know, recovered technology, you know, reclaimed weapons, that sort of thing. Well, the bats, they're kind of more nature-oriented. So they've crafted, like, spears and things. And basically, you collect them all and you can fight in kind of like an online match. That's spoons and bats.
So, Hunter, play it or leave it?
Oh, man. I mean, I find I think there's going to be a few issues with the game.
Just a few?
Just a few. Like, so I'm going to guess that there's... are they inhabiting these bats? Like, are they proactively breeding these bats so that there is that there continues to be a lineage? Or are they just going out and slaughtering all of them? Because sooner or later, you're going to run out of bats.
Oh, yeah, that leaves room for the expansion, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's your DLC.
What, rats and forks?
Yeah.
is that the DLC? That's rats perfect. And forks? Okay.
By the time you get to gerbils and sporks, you know it's just time to
cut
the game. That's the trilogy, man. What do you want? Wow. All good things come in threes. Okay. Collectible card game. I'm thinking that there'll be a hierarchy.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, you've got the Bat King.
Oh, yeah. He'd be a very rare card.
Right. Okay.
Lots of damage. And then you'd have, you know, just your standard bat soldiers or batlings.
What would be the currency that you would use?
Guano. Duh.
Well, no, it has to be universal. For the bats, but that does, yeah, that doesn't work
has
for the spoons.
Has to be universal.
Okay.
Well, it's post
Bailey, I don't think you're taking this seriously.
I think it would be batteries.
I'm still trying to get over the fact that I'm sitting here preparing myself. Like, what is the most Jasonist genre he could pick? Like, I'm thinking he's going to pick like a worldscaping sim with taxes in it. But he manages to out-Jason himself. He out-Jasons himself by going the route of the massively multiplayer online collectible card game.
Oh, man.
Bravo,
I love that
Jason Lamb. I do too. That's the problem. I would absolutely play this game.
I'm in the beta for a different one right now. It's great.
Yeah.
I should download that. But yeah.
How about space? That'll be the currency.
Space?
Right, because they both... Well, I don't mean space like as in galaxies and far, far away. I mean like space like in you occupy a space.
How do you
so like
that?
If you want to buy something, you have to move and give up that space to somebody
That's
else.
That's interesting. So like it's so, a there's luxury a, there's like a to real have a big estate? Open space. You're making a really insightful, profound commentary on the socio-economical hierarchy of the Western world. That's... incredible, Hunter. Jeez. Brilliant. Space as a commodity.
Man.
I'm down.
There you go.
Cool.
We can even do it in square meters.
Ooh.
That's how we can measure it.
Damn. It's intense.
Wow. Wow, okay. Just like Spoon Bats. Spoonbats, this has been crazy game ideas. I'm going to be honest, that went about 10 times better than I thought.
No, I just thought of something even better.
Go for it. Do it.
So there has to be a Romeo and Juliet in the story. So there has to be a bat and a spoon that come together, as one. That's what starts the unrest.
Yeah, that starts the war.
It's the weirdest wedding ever.
I can just see the love poems. And the bat ran away with the spoon.
They, wow. That is our subtitle. Man. We're doing things. That's exactly what that's what we're doing. We are doing things.
Yes, Hunter. We are doing things. Yes.
Start taking notes, people.
They're changing our rules.
If there are any game publishers listening, just give us a ring.
We have increased 2 viewers since we started talking about Bat Spoon, so no pressure.
Honestly, though, Jason. if we ever did get approached, we could probably hammer this out in 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Like,
this
would be a tiny project, I think.
Oh, yeah, collectible card games are such cash cows, because you can charge real-world currency just for stuff. I mean, and you can do that in any genre, with little items and microtransactions, but... rare cards. That's so.
Yeah, it's a little different for a collectible card game. It makes more sense in the long run.
Like, I need that card for my deck, for my strategy to work.
Wait, well, it's because it correlates outside into the real world. It's not like, you know, with, you know, what's that? Spiral Knights, which is a fairly popular Capcom free to play game. Plays like Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, but like a steampunk kind of idea. It's. Like, the things that you pay for are, like, stupid. Like, you only have, like, 2 item slots, and if you want more, then you have to pay for it. And it's like, I can't hold my sword, my shield, and my bombs. I have to pay for an extra slot? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah. You know, things like that. Like, that doesn't correlate to the real world. But buying, quote-unquote, rare cards, especially with how big Magic the Gathering is, and Pokemon, and Yu-Gi-Oh!, like, that makes sense. People are okay for paying for those things.
Buying a pack to get cards makes sense, absolutely.
So, our model will be buying space, so you can buy land, or you can buy a home, and depending on how big it is, and how maintained it is.
If you're underground, you're expanding your cave to attract more bats. If you're above ground, you're expanding your land to attract more spoons.
Spoons, yes, because spoons... Everybody knows that spoons are attracted to the wide open spaces.
Well, bodies of water. Like, the bigger the bowl, the bigger the spoon.
Right. They just want to be submerged.
It's like fish cereal. Just scoop it right out of there. Leak.
Sounds delicious.
Music break. We'll be right back. And we're back! That was Unlikely by Jet Rush One, an original chiptune track, one of my favorites that I've heard in a while on the show. That track is off the Forgotten Music album, and the album or any mix of the individual tracks are available as a Name Your Own Price purchase, which I think is always a good deal. Check it out on the podcast episode page. Speaking of always a good deal, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
Free of charge. For anyone who doesn't know, this is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, and we'll spend the rest of the show pretty much arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener viewer, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you, or at the very least you'll find our conversation entertaining. And this is also the part where we redeem ourselves for anything in the first half of the episode where we didn't even talk about retro gaming as much as we talked about Steam games or whatever. This is all about putting classic games against each other in a hardcore grudge match. Two episodes ago, the theme was a special guest free-for-all because Joe Walker from the Backlog video series joined us for episode 82. And the winner, in fact, was Joe Walker with Panic on Sega CD. That's right, the special guest won. And he beat out Alien Storm and Load Runner. So, congratulations to you, Joe Walker.
We saw that coming.
Yeah, we did. We did. Because that was when Jason wasn't there, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That was me. Yeah.
Like, I even think we prefaced our retro picks with we're super excited to lose against you, Joe Walker.
It'll be a pleasure losing.
Yeah.
That's true. So, it's nice to have the band back together and get back to the norm of Jason winning every week lately, past couple months.
Sorry.
Tonight's theme, this should be fun, is games with Universal Studios monsters. So if anyone's unclear on the concept, Universal Studios was behind many of the classic monster movie films like Dracula, The Mummy, Frankenstein's Monster, all those things. Classic, you know, The Wolfman, all that good stuff at Universal Studios. So we thought, we'll just do games with Universal Studios style monsters in them. So traditionally, Jason, you are the timekeeper, and usually I go first, and I guess I'm ready. I don't know.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You may begin.
Castlevania.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I'm tired of Hunter bringing Castlevania ripoffs. I'm tired of Jason winning the Retro Showdown. So, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm bringing out the big guns. Not some obscure version, not some weird half-Chinese knockoff bootleg crap. This is the NES console release from 1987 by Konami. It's Castlevania, the utterly classic side-scrolling platformer. Excellent, challenging, one of the first NES games to have more mature themes, very dark and edgy for its time. The whip mechanic is wonderful. The Belmont character lineage is iconic. It's just a spectacular game. It's Castlevania.
Wow. just go, Hunter.
Masters of Darkness! Oh, is it my turn? Can I go?
Yeah. You're already 6 seconds in.
Fantastic. 6 seconds in. Who doesn't like monsters? What about a monster in my pocket? That's right. I went for the iconic licensed video game based on a tiny little toy that was actually created from two gentlemen who left Mattel. Monster in my pocket. Also my pick for Review a Great Game Day. That's right. Released in 1992 by Konami, Monster in My Pocket is a side-scrolling beat-em-up where you play as Vampire, also known as Dracula, or the Monster, or Frankenstein's Monster. You combat in real-life areas, like the kitchen, a sewer. Monster in My Pocket on the NES.
Okay. Well, shit. I guess. Damn it.
You can give up, Jason. It's okay. You can concede.
I guess
I will accept your concession.
I got this still. Okay, here we go. Do you like the NBA? Do you perhaps like NBC? Then you'll really like NBA Showtime. NBA on NBC, the arcade game released in 1999. With ports for the PlayStation, Dreamcast, Nintendo 64, and Game Boy Color, this arcade-style basketball game was developed by Midway. Did I mention that the arcade version featured Frankenstein's Monster, the Bride of Frankenstein, the Mummy, the Wolfman, and the Creature from the Black Lagoon as secret characters? That's right, you could play basketball with Universal's famous monsters. Because I know, as a child, my dream was always to see my favorite basketball players playing one-on-one with Frankenstein's monster. That is NBA Showtime, NBA on NBC.
I do really like basketball games.
Castlevania.
Castlevania sucks.
What?
It's so bad.
Do go on.
Like, I feel bad for people who really enjoy that game.
Why?
Like, it's so bad. There's a reason that they completely killed the entire gameplay setup with Symphony of the Night. Because it just doesn't work. It's so bad.
So, if I understand you correctly, Hunter, if I'm understanding you correctly, Konami has learned from the mistakes it made in Castlevania. That's what I heard you saying?
I'm just leaving more dead time for me to cut out for the podcast. Yes.
Yeah.
So if you are correct that Castlevania, huge mistake, lots of errors, terrible things, then surely 5 years after Castlevania, if Konami were to release another side-scrolling platformer that happened to have Universal Studios monsters in it, it would be obviously superior, right?
It depends on the gameplay, but more than likely, yes.
So why is it that if I play Monsters in My Pocket...
Whoa, it's
and
Monster
Castlevania
in My Pocket.
Side by
singular.
Side, Castlevania is the clear winner, despite being 5 years older.
Because you don't like fun?
Yeah.
Creatures in My Pocket. For those who don't know, the monsters are like the size of a child's plaything. It's basically like an 8-bit Toy Story game. And nobody liked the Toy Story game. It was infuriating.
I don't think I've ever played the Toy Story game.
You will never hear it. It's not that bad, but you'll never hear it mentioned in the same breath as like Aladdin or The Lion King. Because
I see what you're saying. Okay.
It's just not.
Well, I mean, come on, dude. Those games were one in a million.
Well, two in a million,
regardless of the genre.
You're regardlessing the genre. You know what? I do need to clarify. In my intro, I failed to make the connection between my game and the theme. So to make it completely perfectly clear, Castlevania is eligible because Dracula appears in it, and Dracula is a Universal Studios monster. I mean, I know, like, not originally, but you get the idea. It counts.
Totally.
Yeah. You two did a great job making that connection. I totally forgot, too.
No worries.
Just thought
you just picked an awful game, so it's not.
Jason, you're a liar.
How? What? How am I a liar?
There is no way that your childhood dream was to see your favorite basketball players play one-on-one with the Universal Studios monster. There's no way.
I was thinking that, too.
Shaquille going one-on-one with Frankenstein?
There's no way that 8-year-old Jason Lamb was curled up in bed at night dreaming of the matchup between Hakeem Olajuwon and Bride of Frankenstein. There's no way that actually happened in this universe.
I want to see Shaq dunk on the Wolfman.
And I would love to see Gary Payton play some really tight defense.
I don't know who that is.
On the Creature of the Black... Exactly! You don't even know who I'm talking about! You weren't even an NBA fan.
I'm still not an NBA fan.
I mean...
I play fantasy NBA, but...
You play... What?
I'm in a fantasy basketball league.
Really?
Yeah.
They have those?
Yeah. Let's just put it this way. Castlevania, really? Castlevania?
Yeah.
Like, how do I...
Good game.
No matter what I say, people are going to vote for it.
They better? I'm tired of you winning.
I don't know, man.
It's Castle...
Like, I think people have wised up to how bad Castlevania is.
Not true.
On the NES. Like, the only reason... And I honestly... I'm dead serious. The only reason that Castlevania was popular at the time... In my opinion, is because there was nothing else like it. It wasn't due to its amazing graphics or its amazing gameplay. It's just because it was such a different, radical idea.
Yeah, and you do have to give it credit.
Kind of took hold
for its context. 1987. That is so early on the North American 8-bit landscape. Yeah. I mean, it would be. 6 years before Kirby's Adventure. I mean, we are years and years ahead of when developers really figured out how to maximize the potential of the NES machine. Castlevania was the same era as, you know, I don't even know what crappy super old games are coming out, but you put Castlevania alongside something like Gyromite, and you're like, wow, this is actually an experience I'm having playing a game.
I think it incumbents... Every awful gameplay mechanic you could possibly think of.
Every awful gameplay mechanic you could possibly think of. Do we want to test that hypothesis, Professor Hunter?
I'm a doctor
There's
now?
Not
Sweet!
A single microtransaction in Castlevania.
It's
I have no problems with microtransactions.
There are not even loading screens.
Also have no issues with loading screens.
Really?
And those aren't due to the game. They're due to the hardware.
What if it was 3 hours long? Would you have a problem with it then?
No, why? What? I'm confused now.
You wouldn't have a problem with a 3-hour loading screen.
Oh, a 3-hour loading screen. I thought you meant a 3-hour game. And I'm like, I just played Bioshock Infinity. That barely pushed 3 hours. Like, and I paid $50 for that game. I'm okay with that. That is no big deal over here.
Oh, boy. I'm learning so much about you two tonight.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know. Yeah. Now you know how to kill us.
Even better.
sucks.
Man, I don't.
I can't.
I mean, you know what I really feel bad about? Is the fact that for Midway to make another basketball game that was basically... NBA Jam, they had to get a multi-billion-dollar company to like NBC to back them to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you know you're going down the hole when you've got to drop trowel and be like, no, well, please, give us to your money.
Yeah, and they put the monsters in. That's got to be...
Come on, man. Are there any Mortal Kombat characters that you can play as in it?
Let me see.
No.
Yeah,
because that would have been kind of cool.
No.
Notice how I spelled cool with a K there.
I did.
Mortal Kombat joke. Just notice that. You see that? It's pretty cool.
I can verbally see the words going in.
Come on, everyone! Everyone loves a good arcade-style basketball game.
No
one wants another side scroller where you jump.
In 1987, you did.
It's a simpler time.
We
won't even bother talking about Monster in My Pocket.
Why? Because it's so amazing.
Who cares?
Nah, I agree.
No, not amazing.
Totally speaks for itself. So much fun. Did you read my review?
I'd rather on play review Monster
a great
Party
game day.
Monster in my pocket. Monster Party. There's a game.
Oh, dude, Monster Party sucks.
Oh, what is with you tonight?
It's so bad.
Not every NES game sucks, Hunter.
No, but those two do. Okay, the two that you've mentioned today, they're awful.
Cut what I'm about to say out of the podcast. Now, coming back to the part you're allowed to keep in the podcast.
Your game depends sucks, on how Hunter. I feel. No, Castlevania, I mean, and I've said it before, you know, the knockback is atrocious. Simon Belmont is so stiff. You can't control your jump, which I know is a very unearthly idea, but we've learned so well about how to control your jump in midair from other popular games like Mario Brothers and Mega Man that it's kind of hard to say no to. You know, like, it's one of those things that you've kind of... It's like a staple now. Like, you have to have this in your game.
You have to have the character control their momentum in midair!
Yes.
That's absurd. You know, sometimes, Hunter, the quality of a game and the player experience improves when you put constraints on them.
I agree.
No. Castlevania.
Listen. Does Castlevania have the one-time NBA team, Vancouver Grizzlies? I think not.
It has creatures who kind of look like grizzly bears.
Mine have creatures that literally are grizzly bears.
Literally. Are.
They're not even like computer-programmed versions of bears. No,
there are
bears.
It's the real
bears
thing.
Inside of the arcade cabinet. Yes. They're starving to death.
It is powered by rage.
Sitting in their own mess.
Yes.
Wow.
As we speak. There are bear corpses littered across the country in old arcades everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen them.
It's up to you to go refill the machine with fresh bear.
That's got to be the best out of context comment tonight. It's up to you to refill the machine with fresh bear. It's up to you.
Listen, just Castlevania.
Yeah, it's a good game, guys.
It's not though. It's not.
I will be honest. Good. I've never played a Castlevania game for more than 5 minutes.
You've never played any side-scrolling platformer for longer than you can tell. You're allergic to them.
They suck. God, I hate them. Oh, they're painful.
I will say this. So I've played every Castlevania game, except for, like, the newer ones.
I have the newest one.
I'm not interested. I'm
not sure why.
Well, I mean, you know, those back alley dealings are...
That makes me wonder what I did.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
A little bit.
Did they drug me?
Actually, yeah.
Was I a drug mule for Konami and just woke up without realizing it?
Are you pregnant with a Konami baby? Is that why?
Wow, I should really check on that.
Yeah. That's...
Do they have, like, a test you can take home and see if you're pregnant? That'd be really useful.
Right. Yeah, so I actually, they do. If you pick up an NES controller and hit up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start, because there's two, that will let you know if you suddenly have unlimited lives.
Can it be a
or a
Nintendo
shitload of lives, you're... No, that won't work. I don't think that doesn't transcribe well.
Stupid Super Nintendo.
No. I will say this, though. Back to my original point.
Of course you will. Just
I'm with Jason. There are many Castlevania games that I've probably put maybe 10 to 15 minutes into. Because most of them are just so frustratingly awfully programmed that it's kind of hard to really play. But the music, man, the music is what keeps me because the music is so good.
So good.
So good. What is that, Bailey? Please.
This is a monolith.
Oh, okay.
Traditionally, when humankind encounters a monolith, they experience a monumental progression suddenly in their mental faculties and overall holistic awareness. This is what I'm resorting to in order to try and get you two to understand how good Castlevania is.
If it was Castlevania for the Sega Genesis, yes. Maybe even Castlevania.
Oh, Hunter, maybe. I am going to pee on your corpse.
Uh-oh. Before or after I die?
Both.
It's tough to pee on a corpse before it's dead. Really hard, but I'm up for the challenge.
Vancouver Grizzlies had a guy named Mike Bibby.
Yeah, Mike Bibby, man. Mike Bibby.
Oh. Canadian basketball teams.
Yeah, man.
Look at him. Mike's even funny looking.
Sean Kemp. So, Jason, I actually do have a as serious as it gets on the podcast question. Did you bring the arcade game or the Game Boy Color version? Because I feel like the two are very different.
I brought the arcade version because the arcade version has the Universal Monsters.
Okay, see, that's interesting. The Dreamcast version doesn't?
No,
it did not.
Hunter, what do you have to say about this? I thought the Dreamcast was some kind of wonder miracle machine.
Well, it is, but the problem
is...
Not. Well, hold on. Let me explain.
I'm holding.
It is.
It is?
If will forever
is
be.
It?
Is it?
Yes.
Who?
But here's the issue. For Universal to put the Universal Monsters in it, it only works for the arcade. Because if you actually want to play an entire game of basketball on NBA Showtime, NBA on NBC, you actually have to pay for every quarter that you play.
How much did each quarter cost?
Let's see. When did this game come out? 1999. It was probably 75 cents.
Okay, so 75 cents per four. So it's $3 to play a full game. If I wanted to play a full season of NBA basketball, it costs $246. I wanted to include playoff games, even if I swept every round and experienced no losses.
Mm-hmm.
It would be over $250. Well over.
Wow, this is a good deal then.
So as the all-knowing being that the Dreamcast is and was at this time, they knew that eliminating these characters from the roster
would be more beneficial
to the gamer.
Their fans couldn't afford it, which is why no one bought the Dreamcast.
Well,
everybody bought the Dreamcast.
I can actually hear Hunter's argument stretching. It's like a slow rip.
Like a rubber band? Rubber band. But see, that was the bullshit thing about it, like basketball games in the arcade. You had to pay for every quarter.
I hated that.
Oh, you're up 30 to nothing. Do you want to play quarter number two? Because you got to pay. Like,
come on. Yeah, they wouldn't make it clear. Like, you would walk up to one of those games and be like, oh, I want to play that. You'd play the first quarter enjoying yourself. And then when that hit, you were like, I mean, I wanted to straight up shank someone.
Yeah, because, you know, the majority of arcade games at that time were, if you were doing well, you could continue to play. But no. Not basketball games in the arcade.
No.
You had to pay
or
to
football.
Play.
NFL Blitz was expensive as well if you wanted to play that in the arcade.
Yeah, I agree.
My game had Charles Barkley.
Jason, we really don't care how many NBA
does anybody
players
really like
name.
Charles Barkley?
LeBron James?
He was not in that game.
He was.
He wasn't. No, he was really?
Yeah.
Was he?
No way.
And Lakers. Shaquille, Glenn Rice, Kobe Bryant, Rick Fox, Travis Knight, and A.C. Green.
I don't see LeBron James anywhere on there.
I messed up LeBron with Kobe.
Wait for it.
Wow. You're...
Wait. What did he say?
Are you not an NBA fan? You're like the anti-NBA fan. You're like this swirling vortex where other people's NBA knowledge actually worsens if they're near you.
It's pretty good.
Yep. Oh my god.
The basketball. You should vote for me.
Because of the basketball.
Fine. Final arguments.
Basketball.
Jason, why should anyone vote for an NBC shilling game?
NBA Showtime, NBA on NBC. For the arcade, features basketball. You can play as people such as the Portland Trailblazers or the
don't want to hear you.
Charlotte Hornets with the basketball.
Wow.
You should vote for me. Basketball.
Yep.
Hunter. Why should anyone vote for the beast in my pants?
Oh, wow. That was a little frightening. You should vote for Monster in My Pocket for the NES because it is a extremely fun beat-em-up side-scrolling game that featured some of the absolute best universal monsters that were available.
He's lying.
And if you read my review on reviewagreatgameday.com, you would understand 100% why this is the only game worth playing in this Retro Showdown.
It's a lie.
No, it's not, Bailey. It's not a lie, okay? Stop.
Hey.
Nobody can hear you anyway.
I didn't whisper that part.
Oh, shit.
What?
You should vote for Castlevania. Because it is a legendary title that, although hasn't aged the best, should be considered for the foundation it's set for gaming innovation to come in areas of challenge, platforming convention, and spooky atmospheric cues, such as the beautiful soundtrack. And that's our Retro Showdown! And that's really the podcast, too. Thanks for listening. Once again, please send listener email discussion questions to podcast@wormwoodcastle.com so we can tackle those on the air. Also, please see us at Indie PopCon, taking place May 30th through June 1st. We will be there, like literally at a booth with Wormwood Castle people at it. There's actually going to be a few other Wormwood Castle people there. We can't even talk about all of it, but it's going to be a wonderful event in Indianapolis, Indiana. Who doesn't love a good convention? Please see us there. As always, the live stream version of the podcast broadcasts roughly around 7:30 p.m. Central Thursday evenings. We tweet the link from One More Castle. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am @Nintendo_legend. I want to give some shout-outs to the people who commented on the live stream tonight. Captain Knucklehead, Rizard Core, good to see you guys. Valerie Minnick, Jason Light, Atlas Vids. Ooh, we'll talk about Mighty No. 9 sometime. That's a good game. Jonathan Chapman, Video Game Experiment. Brent Dresky, good to see you again. Paul Sharp, hello to you. Everyone else who watched, whether you commented or not, thank you so much for tuning in, supporting us. Please spread the word. Jason, any shout-outs, reminders, plugs,
you can
tips?
Follow me on Twitter @JasonLamb, and I'd like to give a shout-out to the Vancouver Grizzlies. We miss you.
Sure you do. Sure you do.
Basketball?
Did you just give a shout-out to the Vancouver Grizzlies?
Yeah, man.
Okay. Wow. Well, Hunter, any shout-outs?
You can follow me on Twitter as well @EricHunter. My indie game review blog is I Am Eric M. And I did want to give a little piece of information about Indie PopCon that we may have not been too straight on. Again, we do have a booth. We're going to be there all weekend, but we don't know what the booth number is yet because they haven't assigned us one yet. But once they do, we'll be more than happy to forward that information out to you so you can actually come to us,
right,
and see us. Because I can tell you right now, what we're going to be doing is playing video games. So
you can also touch me.
It's gonna be my first time.
So we're all a little excited about touching Jason.
Very excited.
So. Me too.
I think he's going to go like 2 weeks without showering. So once we get that booth number, I will let you know what it is so you can come directly to us and not mosey around the place, because you don't want to mosey around the place. You just want to come and hang out with us. So
you want to be the overbearing guy who stands in front of our booth for 4 hours straight.
Yes. We had a couple of those at Midwest.
We did, yeah. We had a guy almost play through the entirety of Mike Tyson's Punch-Off. Cool.
Yeah.
Got to Tyson.
Which was weird, because he was like, oh, can I play? And you're like, yeah, I'm tired of playing and losing because I'm awful at NES games.
So. Oh, yeah, that's how I remember that whole conversation going on, too. That's exactly
Hey, man.
Happened.
Hey. Also, it didn't happen.
Please support our Chiptune Artist of the Week. It's usually a free download. This week it's Name the Price. I think it's worth supporting. But if you know of anyone else, Chiptune, Nerdcore, Remixer, whoever, we have a submission link on WarmerCastle.com at the bottom. It's like the musician program. Submit people, because we will feature you on the podcast. It's publicity. It just makes sense. Who doesn't love good music? Finally, last but not least, listeners, viewers, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!